ready to worship. Cooper, you were right. It was the fourth day. And I was thinking third day, and I should know that song about the days of creation. And on day four, sun, moon, and stars so bright. So thank you for Spencer or Bryson, whoever you are, has given us all these hard questions. And I'm glad the kids know the answers, even if I miss one every once in a while. So thank you for helping. And just tell me the right answer next time, okay? Delighted to be back with you and to share with you and to study with you for a little while about Obed-Edom. How many of you know about Obed-Edom? Yeah. Man, I didn't know much about Obed-Edom. A couple years ago on Father's Day, this young man from Memphis started teaching me about Obed-Edom. And I thought, wow, what a guy. He's a great father. He's a great father of eight people. I asked Caleb Ray to send me this picture so that it could be proven that I actually was in Dixon County last week. And somebody said, well, Dixon County, now where's that? It's southwest of Nashville. Charlotte was one of the first capitals of Tennessee, and we were just a few miles outside of Charlotte, literally down in a hollow by a stream, and I got to stay with some dear friends. Our doctor friend who took care of our girls when they were little allowed me to stay. There was no other street. No, you couldn't get any farther back in the hills once you got to their place. So it was a wonderful time. Cindy was able to be with me the first part of the week and then on granted duty. And so delighted to have that opportunity. It's called Rock Church. Can you see why? You see what Rock Church? In 1857, there were souls there, about 70 of them, and they have a directory of the souls that were a part of Rock Church. It was called a little different name then, but there was a guy named Montgomery Bell, who was a tycoon in the iron industry before the Civil War, and he had built this as a place for some of his warehousing. And so the brethren are still meeting there, and you know, Grady... Yeah, I just got called out. Now, the only young man there was Oliver, and he's 11. He's the only young man there. And you guys are blessed with all these young men to be together. And so I sure would appreciate if you'd pray for Oliver. That'd be a great thing. He's really thinking about his relationship with his Lord. And then there's Luke. Yeah, Luke, another Luke. There's Luke, and he's about 20. And he's at university, but he was there during the week. And so it was a joy to be with them, and it was a joy to be with the 87-year-old, and then the 96-year-old. And then many of the 96-year-old got trumped by Miss Autry, who was 106. So there was a wide spectrum of folks who were seeking to serve the Lord, and it was a joy to be with them. But our attention now is to turn to Father's Day and to think about Obed-Edom, the great father of eight. It was a happy day. Man, the ark has been away for so long. And it's been in Kiriath Yearim. And now finally we're going to get to bring it home. And there's going to be a great celebration. The band's playing. Everybody's celebrating. They're singing. They're playing the instruments. And the Levites are leading the chorus. And it just... sounds like it's great until all of a sudden there's that stumbled oxen and the ark is tipping and Uzzah just reaches up instinctively to stop that ark from falling off that new cart. And a man's dead and David's angry and then David's afraid of God and he's just not sure what to do with all that. And so he thinks he's doing something that God wants. He thinks he's praising God. He thinks God's going to be pleased. And all of a sudden, God's wrath burst out against Uzzah because God had clearly said, don't touch the ark or you'll die. But that's not really our study today. But that sets the background for what's happening in this day. You'll remember that in the days of Eli, they thought, oh man, if we got the ark, we're going to win the battle. It's like a kind of a charm, like a talisman. That as long as we got the ark with us, we're going to win. Well, not necessarily so. And so the Philistines take the ark. And they keep it for a while, but But they decide they want to get rid of it because things aren't going too well for them when they're keeping the ark. And so they're glad to kind of send it with some oxen back over to Israel territory. He's been sitting there for quite some time. But now David has the established new city of God, Jerusalem. It's the place where God's presence is going to dwell. It's not Shiloh anymore. And so they're ready to move that ark. And our study today is not defined on really the ark itself, but on Obed-Edom. But yet, you know, some of the parts of God's tabernacle were moved with arks. Were moved with those instruments like those ox carts. But not the Ark of the Covenant. Levites knew they were supposed to be carrying it. And Jerry, you really impacted my thinking about that when we looked at the Chronicles. And about the role of the priest, and about what they should have been saying, and about how it should have been in, you didn't say it this way, but in David's face about, look, this is the way to do it. I really, really appreciated that. And so David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him. He took it aside into the house of, there he is, Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord remains in his house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. You kind of curious about his household? I am. And so I don't know how David recognized that the Lord was blessing Obed-Edom's house, but what this guy does is, seemingly kind of on the spur of the moment, he's got this situation where here's the ark, what are we going to do? You know, the touching of the ark just killed a guy. Think about that. Do you want to welcome that furniture into your house? And he welcomes this Ark of the Covenant into his house. Could you imagine? I don't know what he was doing that day. I don't know if he was part of the band. I don't know if he was in the parade or if he was just sitting at home minding his own business. I really don't know. But he's got to hear all the band. He's got to hear the music. He's got to hear the celebration, the shouts of joy. And all of a sudden, somebody's dead. And so for those, I know you're not old, and I know you say you're not wise, guys, that is studying with me the third series of Psalms with Asaph and his friends, I just kind of want you to see a little bit of the background that you're only going to get in the Chronicles. If you just read the Kings, you're going to miss so much about Old Testament history. And so David's going to call Zadok and Abiathar. They're the priest. They should have known. And he's now starting to ask God, how do you want us to do this? And then you've got the heads of the father's households of the Levites. And David says, you guys get ready. You consecrate yourselves. You be ready to bring that ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place that I prepared for it. David's acting as God directs here. And because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us because we didn't seek him according to the ordinance. David's figured out the reason Uzzah died is on me. I didn't ask God how to do this, and that's why Uzzah's dead. Now, you priests, you help me make sure we get this done right this time. And so the priests and the Levites are consecrating themselves. They're going to bring up the Ark of the Lord to Israel. The sons of the Levites are going to carry the Ark of God on their shoulders with the poles therein, just like Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. They're going to do it the way God says this time. And then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint the relatives, the singers, with instruments of music, harps, lyres, loud-sounding cymbals to raise sounds of joy. You'll notice in verse 21, Obed-Edom's in the lyre part of the band. Now for you young people who may not know, God did authorize a band. God did say, I want instruments, and God did say, I want Levites to play the instruments, and God did say when he wanted them to play them, and what instruments to play, and where to play them. God was very specific about all that. David just didn't pay attention. Somebody dies when we don't pay attention to God. So you're going to know from Hezekiah's day that they can look all the way back to David's day and say, this is the way God wants us to do it. And so when they had the band, they had the band the way God said to do it, and it was tied most often to temple worship. By the way, those of us who are studying Asaph, for some reason he was one of the big cymbal players. And he is a part of the band. So Obed-Edom welcomes God into his house. We're going to notice in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 that he's going to rejoice in the Lord. As the story continues, King David learns that God's blessing the household of Obed-Edom because of the ark. He hears the good news and David proceeds to take the ark out of Obed-Edom's home into the city of Jerusalem, just like he planned to do 3 months earlier. But before the ark is transported, the Bible tells us that David commands the chief of the Levites to appoint their brothers as singers to play loudly on musical instruments and to raise sounds of joy as the ark is being carried into Jerusalem. He welcomes, and then he, as a part of that group, is going to rejoice. When you read 1 Chronicles 16, verses 4 and 5, you're going to find out that he has other jobs too. He appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. And Obed-Edom is among them. He's one of those men who's going to praise God in that time. And then he's also given another job. And that job is that he is going to be one of the gatekeepers. He controls who comes in and who goes out. What comes in and what comes out. He's one of the gatekeepers for the ark in chapter 16. You'll notice he's a part of the singing group, and he left Asaph and his relatives there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord to minister before the ark continually as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom, with his 68 relatives, Obed-Edom, also the son of Jeduthun, and Hosa as gatekeepers. Now, Dads, I don't know if you just added that up. 68. This father's got some kids. In fact, he's got 8 sons. And those 8 sons have lots of sons. 62, if I remember correctly, maybe 60. And so there's all these descendants of Obed-Edom, and I wonder what they might have learned from their father. So what you read about them is that they are able men with great ability, qualified for the service of the Lord. He welcomes God, he rejoices in the Lord, and he protects and he guards the gates. So his sons, all 8 of them, and his grandsons were men with great ability. And so in 1 Chronicles chapter 26, picking up in verse 4, moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shema. Do I have to read all these guys? Can I just say in those guys, Blake, you know, we were talking about those guys' hard names. You got number 1 first, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, number 6, number 7, and number 8. These are able men with strength for the work, 62 of them. 62 of Obed-Edom's kids and grandkids. They're strong, they're brave, they're courageous, and you don't mess with their God without dealing with them. Now that's a great dad. That's a great grandfather who would instill, in fact, the New American Standard says they're men of valor, Greg. They're men of valor. They're the bouncers. Okay? They praise God, they rejoice, but they also are the strong men who you don't mess with God, and you don't mess with God's family, and you don't mess with my family. You know what's ringing in my ears that was said 40 years ago? When I was trying to work on the disc brakes of my Chevette. Sydney's dad was a strong man. He wasn't a big man, but his Navy experience in boxing reminded me that I didn't want to mess with him. And he said to me one day when I was trying to pull that spring, Eric, to get it locked, to get that disc, he said, get strong, little man. Oh, that made me mad. And the day that I sang songs at his funeral kept ringing in my mind, get strong, little man. I'm never going to be a big guy. But I can be a strong man like Obed-Edom. I don't know how big he was, but man, he was strong. And he nurtured strong sons and strong grandsons in the service of the Lord. So I have so much to learn from him. And as I think about today, as I think about these men of valor and strength who are protectors, today, Father's Day, we're living in a world where there are more than 20 million children who live in a home where dad's not present. He's not home. Millions more have fathers who are physically present but emotionally absent. Their dad's hung up on his screen all the time. He has no clue what his kids are doing. And if it were classified as a disease, fatherlessness would be an epidemic worthy of attention as a national emergency. In a world where 21 million children are born out of wedlock, they don't know who their dad is. In a world where child support checks have taken the place of time for the son, love for the son, attention for the son or daughter, and in a world where gender roles are twisted and perverted, in a world where fewer and fewer men are even serving the Lord or even pretending to serve the Lord, in a world where men are no longer acting like men, 1 Corinthians 16 is very strong in that regard in verses 13 and 14. To be on the alert, you're a gatekeeper. By the way, moms, you are too. When the Scriptures tell you you are a keeper at home, please understand that in previous history, the woman always protected her house. She was the keeper of the house. And the husband is to be the gatekeeper. He doesn't even let it get to her. And so you got to be on the alert. And you got to stand firm in the faith. You got to know what God says, believe what God says, and teach what God says. And you got to act like men. That translation is very good. That word there is not anthropos. It is not mankind. You act like a man. There's a difference between a man and a woman. And a man needs to act like a man. That's exactly what God says. And you need to be strong, just like my father-in-law told me. And in all of that, this is not some macho bruiser who beats on everybody around him. Everything you do is motivated out of love. Love for God, love for your wife, and love for your children. That's God's man. Like Obed-Edom. We need men, we need fathers, we need grandfathers, or maybe even great-grandfathers to step up to the plate and raise children who will become able men with great ability. Men of valor, men of courage, men who know how to do things men need to do. My dad was not much bigger than I am. But man, he taught me. I saw him deal with some really tough things, but he taught me how to serve. Saturday night, the A.B. Dick stencil printer with the black ink. You remember pouring that thing in that drum and cranking those old stencils out for the bulletin? Well, Dad took me with him. Dad was there teaching me how to put the wax ring on the toilet. Dad was there with me helping clean cleaning the walnuts out of the gutters. He was teaching me how to serve. Dads, are you doing that with your boys? Are you teaching them how to serve God's people? Are you teaching them how to do the kind of things I just described? Some of it even here in the church building, but certainly in the homes of widows and those who may not be widows but may be living in that circumstance because of the choice of people who've abused them. Are you doing that, guys? Are you an Obed-Edom? And so the question then that we ask ourselves this morning is, how do I do that? How do I raise up a child of great ability who's qualified to do the service of the work? And I want to just make a brief comment here about, we want to teach the boys how to lead, sing, and stand. We really do. We want to teach them how to read as best they can, to do things in a public way. But men, I am pleading with you. Find to teach him how to read. Find to teach him how to preach. Find to teach him how to sing. But teach him how to be a man at home. First and foremost. Whether they ever lead a song, whether they ever read a scripture, be a man at home that loves God and your kids know it. And if you're a man at home who loves God and your kids know it, you're going to be a man in the assembly who's not distracted, who's not playing games. He's a man who is focused on worshiping God because that's his life. It's not something you just do at church. It's something you do all the time because you're God's man. And so we need men like Obed-Edom who are willing to welcome God into their house. You welcome God as a part of your family. I may have to ask you guys to advance this. There we go. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. A man who knows God, serves God, loves God, is going to empower his children to do the same. So we need to welcome God into our home. We need to welcome him to our house. I didn't realize it. But when I would be off playing, I'd be off on the basketball court, I'd be off in the track meet, I'd be off in the band activities. When I'd get home, I'd think, man, Dad, what you doing? He's right there at that little office, that little folding table, studying the Bible to teach somebody on Sunday. Or he's having studies at work at Carbide, or he's having studies in somebody's home. He threw ball with me. He came to my ball game. I broke his nose playing ball. That's another story. But he was there for me. Don't think he wasn't connected with me. But what he was teaching me is serving God is the most important thing in my life. And so on Sunday mornings, I'm getting in from my paper route, and he's playing the radio. Wouldn't you know it, he's playing the local radio station where the preacher is preaching. Of course, the brothers are singing, and there's what I realize now is Dad was always bringing spiritual things into the house. Now, he liked classic. He liked Ludwig von Beethoven. But what I'm asking you, dads, is how much of God is coming into your house? How much do your kids see of praising God, of hearing God, of listening to God? How much is that pouring into your house? Or are we so distracted with video games that we just don't have any time for God? Or the music that we're playing is certainly not something Jesus would feel comfortable with. What are we bringing home? Obed-Edom welcomed God into his house. And it's blessing him. It's blessing his family. David can see it. Everybody around him can see the blessings that are coming because he welcomes God into his house. And he's rejoicing in the Lord. You know, someone tells the story about the person that came to church and they said, "Praise God." And somebody says, "Well, we don't do that in here." Well, I wonder if we do it at home. Do we ever hear somebody say, "Praise the Lord"? Do you hear your dad say that? Praise the Lord. Psalm 34. Obed-Edom rejoiced in the Lord. And he played the instrument God described and demanded. And he was excited about the things of God. He was a man who sang praises to the Lord and rejoiced in the Lord. And when our children ask, "Dad, what are you so excited about?" Dad would be excited when Roberto Clemente in right field would catch the ball at Forbes Field. Now, if any of you know anything about the Pirates. But he wasn't nearly as excited as when someone like Bryant would come and obey the Lord. That's what thrilled his soul. What gets you excited, Dad? What do your kids see you really enthused about? Is it the 2A games? Is that what you're so pumped about the whole year long? Is that the most important thing in your life? And so when kids see a dad rejoicing in the Lord, my dad's on fire for the Lord. And that's why Dad's so excited. This is why Dad's always talking about the things of God. That's why he's talking to me about the things of God. That's why he's talking to the neighbors about the things of God. That's why the guys at work call him the preacher, because he's talking about the things of God, not because he's paid to preach, but he's talking about God. And so I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I wonder, do we even talk about it in here? Before the assembly and after the assembly, do we even talk about the Lord in here? And if we don't, about him in here. Are we going to talk about him at home? I'm just asking. If they see us wallowing in our pity or dragging our feet or constantly complaining, just doing enough spiritually to, if you can, get by, if that's even a possibility. Obed-Edom raised 8 sons, 62 grandsons, who were considered to be able men, men of power, men of valor, men who are able and qualified to work and serve for the Lord. So if we expect to raise sons and daughters who are useful in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to model that. Now, they can be servants of the Lord whether we are or not, and some of them will be. But we need to model what being devoted to God looks like at home first, at work, and then among God's people in assembly. So finally, we've got to guard the things of God. He loved the things of God. He respected the things of God. And he guarded that. Fathers will guard. Fathers will protect. Fathers will defend. They will shield their children from anyone or anything that is a threat to their child's faith. I was thinking of it yesterday and again today. I know a dear brother, a young man who was pleading with his dad, please take the television out of my bedroom. Please get rid of the cable. This is some time ago, about 20 years ago. And basically his dad said, toughen up, son. Well, you wouldn't be surprised where his dad is today. And you wouldn't be surprised where the boy is today, because a father would not guard his children. He exposed them to all kinds of evil, and it took them away from God. And I'm fearful that it may be happening in your home today. What you watch, what you listen to, and what you force on your sons, because you won't pull the plug, and for your son. And so children, they're a heritage. They're a heritage of the Lord. They're a gift of the Lord. They're the fruit of the womb. They're arrows. We're to use them to shoot the enemy. But in fact, the enemy's shooting them. And the kids are dying in rapid numbers because we're not protecting and we're not guarding. And when your child begins to doubt the Lord, to doubt creation and doubt the supremacy of Christ, you need to guard the things of God. Don't pounce, but protect. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul tells Timothy, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Don't play games with the world. Don't entertain the world. Don't get close to sin. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. It's going to be a fight, though. And if we see sports or video games or a teacher or a friend or anyone, anything that is a threat to our child's spiritual well-being, they got to go. It's got to be done with. It's got to be dealt with. Don't play games with that. That child has been entrusted to you by the Lord. And it is your responsibility as a parent to do whatever you need to do to make sure that your child gets to the Lord. So we need to welcome God into our home. We need to welcome God into our heart first. And we need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to guard God's things for ourselves and for our family. Folks, it's real easy to preach this stuff. Actually, it's not. But it's so hard to practice it. And guys, if you think, man, Alan's just beating on me, to know Alan's beating on me today. But if what we've said is true, would you please reflect upon it and welcome God into your house? Rejoice in the Lord. Let your kids see it and guard the things of God. Let's pray. Father, we need you. We want to be men like Obed-Edom. We want to be real fathers who train our daughters and our sons to be able, to be strong, to be fierce warriors for you, to be willing to serve and protect for your good and for your great glory. Please help us to encourage each other and to help each other, to not condemn each other,
but to try to come alongside each other to be more the holy, pure men you want us to be. Help us to protect our sons, protect our daughters, and may we give them to you fully and completely without distraction. Father, help us and forgive us. It's in Jesus that we pray. Well, if you're not in Christ, and God's the best Father ever, He's the one that we seek to serve. He is the giver of every good, every perfect gift. All of us as fathers have failed. All of us have just not stepped up to the plate and done what God wanted us to do at times. But today's a new day, and God's mercies are new every morning. So today's a great day for us to say, from now on, my house, best to my ability, we will serve the Lord. If you'd like for others of us to pray with you and for you, please pray for us, and let's help each other journey all the way home as we stand and sing.